Because when you start caring how you're getting treated by the world, you start not caring what God thinks about you. See, it's the cares of this world to stuff and take away from the Word of God. All that's free, by the way. My brother told a joke the other day, and the only reason I'm saying this is because Oscar said, I guess I need to start with a joke. But and that joke went like this. This conversation was overheard, and this mother was talking to her son. She said, well, I'll get up. It's Sunday. Got to go to church. And he says, give me three reasons why I need to go to the church. And first thing out of her mouth was she said, first of all, I'm your mother. I thought, well, okay. Second of all, you've been living at home for 37 years. Location, location, location. And he said, okay, what's the third reason? She said, you're the pastor. We kind of laughed at that. But when reality sets forth, and not that they have to, but I know Oscar and Margaret are going to listen to this tape. But it's a sad day because, to be honest with you, they're a lot like Eddie and Audrey was. The only time they get time off, even though Oscar spreads the word by having other people speak, most of the time is when they go on vacation. So if you don't mind, drop them a line, give them a call when they get back, and tell them how much you appreciate them going on vacation. Not that they weren't missed, but until we start enjoying the things for them to include them in it, sometimes they just don't get it. You know, we were needed for this and needed for that. I remember years ago when Brother Eddie fell during the rain and he broke his foot. Was that right, Ronnie? Is that right? He broke his foot. And the elders got together and went to church. To the hospital to pray for him. Has God ever laid anything on your heart that you're hoping that nobody asks you to pray? I know you think that's strange because my wife told me the other day, while I'm on comedy, I might as well say this. My wife told me the other day, Clyde, you know everybody doesn't think the way you think. And I go, are you sure about that? See, I thought you all thought the same way I thought. You guys must be strange or something. But she said that because of the things I say. I get myself caught up in feeling like, God, how do you feel about these things? What do you think? What's your will in this? Well, anyway, going to the hospital to visit Brother Eddie, there's about, don't want to leave anybody out, 10 or 12 people there. And they wanted to pray for him. Well, not mentioning any names, but it wasn't me, wanted to lead in prayer. And Brother Eddie said, oh, no. Since he said, oh, no, I got like it. Oh, God. No, I feel like Brother Clyde's supposed to pray. And as soon as he said that, I said, Lord, help me pray. Help me pray what you laid on my heart. And we were holding hands. And I happened to hold the hand Eddie and the one that wanted to pray. And I began to pray for Brother Eddie. And I thank God for the rain. And I thank God for sitting on the throne with his eyes wide open. And I thank God for Eddie falling and breaking his ankle. Well, I want to tell you something. One of the hands wanted to let go of me, and it wasn't Brother Eddie's. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We got an amen out there? Sometimes we don't know what to let go of. But I want to tell you something. If we're going to be led of the Spirit, like Oscar said last week, we're going to have to let go of our own natural feelings and desires and get into God's. Now, I know what I've prepared tonight or today, or this evening, or ever how long it takes. It won't take long. But my title of my sermon is, We Get To. Over the years, I've kind of been known to that. And Rich, I've been known to it mostly by my cousin back there, who Kurt gets to work one more week than retire. He gets to. Doesn't have to, but he gets to. We need to start looking through the eyes of God of what we get to do. I'm not apologizing for anything. So I want you to stand up right now. Because see, when Nehemiah was reading from the word of God, it said all of Israel stood up. The whole nation did. And when I seen that, something inside of me said, that's respect. That's reverence. And we need to get over ourselves because we need to still have the reverence of God in our life just like our first love. We need to know that that word is life. And while we're standing here, I'm going to read this to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Listen how he's changed my prayer life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in you, God in me, God is one. Amen. Because that's the truth. You may be seated. That is true. What we need to do is we need the unction of the Holy Ghost to move us. And that should be that which is, what was the word I was looking for? I was looking for, that is the thing that sustains us. That is what should move us to a realm of, what do I need to do? Well, what we need to do is we get to. When I was writing this, the Lord kept on telling me, we get to, and it's a lot better with God if we want to. I'm talking a lot about attitude here. And if we want to, I challenge you this. Everyone out here that has wanted to do something, when it became that which you desired, I guarantee you it's that what you did. I love stepping on feet. But I'm not stumbling. We're not stumbling here. Let's tell the truth in love. We get to serve a living God. We get to. I don't know why, and I don't question God, but at 5 o'clock this morning, I was dreaming. And I was telling my wife this morning, and I was seeing lines of people. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, some of them I really recognized. And you know what I seen them doing? I seen them going, and they was coming from that side, and they were coming from this side. And what they were doing, they were ascending, going up. And you know what I watched very carefully and noticed? Because I asked God when I woke up, what did that mean? That wasn't just a dream so you wouldn't understand it. He said, that I wanted you to see that as they were ascending, they preferred one another. They were taking turns, you. They weren't in a hurry to ascend, but they knew where they were going. God's people need to know this. You are brought to this earth to ascend to another place. You're not just sitting here. We used to sing a song, Sherry, getting ready today, moving out tomorrow. I started singing that the other day, and the Lord started dealing with me. He said, I want to tell you about packing your bags. And when he started showing me that about packing my bags, here's what he said. Pack the bags. When you pack bags to go on a trip, you think that those are the things you need to take on that trip. Well, when you're ascending, you don't need to pack the bags. You can pack them, but leave them. You need to quit bringing those things that are so easily besetting you. You need to quit bringing those things that is your luggage, that's holding you back, that's draining the very strength of God out of you. You need to let go of that stuff. And in letting go of it, you'll be ascending. When did I lose that?
As big of yours as I got, you think this would stay on?
I started going through the Bible. I don't know if you can hear that, Kurt. I started going through the Bible. And I started saying, God, show me what you want me to say. Rich, this is what I meant about Wednesday. What's acceptable in God is a good report. I put you in this land to spread you out, to give a good report. Basically, I don't want to hear nothing other than a good report. There's giants in your life. Let's have a good report. We get to give a good report. But we choose to, right? Or we choose not to. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those that did not give a good report got to go somewhere. Got to go for a trip for 40 years. They got to pack up a lot of stuff. And who got to lead them? Those that gave the good report. Right? Here's what it is. It says, the giants that were able to defeat them. You have to look at the giants in your life. And I've been thinking about this a long time. Every one of you, I haven't got this wrote down. I have, whether you know it or not, just so you know my feelings of the whole thing. When God allowed me to run a stop sign and wreck and break my hand and break my ribs, he brought you before me. Every one of your faces that's sitting down here. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And I started praying in a certain way for every one of you, every one of your families. Things that you think that you are carrying alone, realize you're not. Why are we here? We're here endeavoring to keep the unity of faith, to bring in a oneness among us, which is Jesus Christ and Him only, that we encourage one another. I told my wife, I said, I believe that's my true calling, is to encourage one another. Somebody came up to me the other day, I won't say where because some of you were there. Isn't that an event that I attended? Came up feeling, and I'm being honest with you, I felt her heart say, oh, I'm sorry you got hurt. But that ain't what she said. She said, how are you feeling? I'm to give a good report. I feel great. She got upset that I felt great. Can you imagine how upset God might be if I don't feel great or give a good report? Calling those things that aren't as though they are. I just got the last week to get to sleep in bed. I get to. That's great. But I want to tell you something. My lips have not been found charging God as though, why? No. That's not a part of me. We don't get to do that. We get to praise the Lord because of everything. He's in total control. He's a sovereign God. Okay, I heard this at a dinner that I was at. The guy said, this world's in a mess. And a lot of you are agreeing with it. Well, I challenge you this morning. Whose eyes are you looking through? It's a mess if you're looking through your natural eyes. But if you look through the eyes of God and see it as He sees it, it's in His plan. It's in His hand. He's doing it all. He's sovereign. Nothing touches you that He don't know. We got to quit making excuses. But you know how it is. And I go like this. Let me say something to you. Let me challenge you to say this. Ask God if He knows how it is. Yeah, well, you're not going to ask that. If you do, you're not going to want to stay around here to answer. We got to quit going by our feelings. Kurt, I changed it to we get to, do I get to? I love the Word of God. And I can be honest with you, it's made me what I am today. And I'm nothing without it. I get to know that God has a plan for me. And then I wrote down us. I get to that God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to save us all. And all is you, me, and all. that we would receive forgiveness, and I love this part of it, so we could extend forgiveness. I told Jack, he was the only one in my class this morning other than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been given forgiveness not to withhold it from anybody, not to pick and choose who we're going to give it to. Let's face it. Have you ever looked at the world and seen somebody that needed forgiveness? Try looking in the mirror. I didn't deserve forgiveness, but that didn't stop him from dying for me. That same forgiveness, nothing less is expected of us. The same, well, if you do this, I'll forgive you that. None of those rules. He didn't set up any rules. He said, just believe me. Just accept me. That was his rules. And he said, and you'll be forgiven. One time the Lord used me to talk at a graduation. And I wrote things down and the Holy Spirit was moving with me. He said, I need you to write 4 copies of this and write down exactly where the scripture is and tell them where it's at and sign their names on it and have your wife verify this. This was 3 days before the graduation. Because God, I knew what God was going to tell me to say. And he was telling me to say, if you forgive, because the family needed forgiveness, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. And I, as I said in Wednesday's program. But 2 verses later says, but if you forgive not, you won't be forgiven. You know, all 4 of those names that he wrote me down, had me write down on separate papers came up to me after that graduation ceremony. Where is that? I said, here's your copy, here's your copy, here's your copy, and here's your copy. And that's right where it's at. We should never pick and choose when we're going to be led of the Spirit. Because when we do, we're not being led. And guess what? We're being bad examples of God being led of the Spirit. We're not, well, I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to withhold that from them. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. How about this? That we should be that forgiveness that we've received. We should love one another as he has loved us. My God has loved me so much, I owe that debt that I couldn't pay. He's loved me so much, what else could I give? When we love one another, he wants us to realize we're loving him. When we put our arms around each other, he wants us to realize we're hugging him. I want to tell you something. We think we hug and love right now. We'd be hugging a lot more. I don't know about you, but if Emma Morgan would happen, I get to say this, my beloved mother, if she was here today, I'd hug her and look to hug no other. Because that was a son that loved his mother. And I remember the time when my brother hugged her so much, she said, get away from me. You know, that aggravation. And I laugh at him. I said, you don't know when to let go. God's an awesome God. He teaches a lot of things. This is what I get to say to you. Over the past few weeks, I've heard God's voice from this place right here, from this pulpit. Actually, Rich, I was digging it out this morning. I didn't add to this, but it's actually been over a few months. I've really had heard God's word from here. And if you haven't heard this, it's because you were absent. But you can get the tape. We only need 30 or 40, Kurt. You can get the tape. I loved when I heard that all I want you to do is sit down and have coffee. I love that. At the time, I was telling my wife, I don't drink coffee, but I'll still drink water. You know, he can have the coffee. But I love that. That spoke volumes to me. That's how God is. He wants to sit down and have a conversation with us. Because you got to have a conversation, have a relationship. You got to have your ears open. You got to want to be talked to. Now, I'm looking out here thinking, how many of us really want to hear God? No offense, but I want to hear God above any of you guys. I want to fine-tune to where I know that I know that I know. My sheep know my voice. I know what I am. I'm a sheep. He's the shepherd. I remember years ago, and I just write this down, but years ago when I told Brother Eddie, I said, Brother Ed, you're no longer my shepherd. And people actually thought in our audience that I was disrespecting him. Well, yeah, he hugged me, cried, and said, thank you. I want to tell you something. Thank you, Jesus, that he's not my shepherd. You're my shepherd. You need to know him that close. You need to know that he does all things well. He finishes that which he started. He started a good work in everyone out here. And he's going to bring it to pass.
Of course, the other word was he began a good work in you, was able to finish it. And then another one that came out of this pulpit. God wants to show you forgiveness. Because you can't forgive. You know what? The day I couldn't forgive is the day that I accepted forgiveness. And from that moment on, I could. Amen. Because it wasn't about me. It was about showing forth the love. And I want to tell you something. This love is not one that you pump up. It's not that kind of love. But they were all around it last week and the week before. It's called agape love. It's a love that goes beyond boundaries. It's a love that said, I'm going to bleed for you no matter if you like me. No matter if you accept me, I'm still doing it for you. Because you know why? He was here to do that which pleased the Father. I want to tell you something. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, brethren. Hello, sisters. It's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like to get pumped up every once in a while. But I don't want it to be Clyde. And another thing that came from this pulpit, not mentioning no names, Rich, but I actually believe, and I'm one of those that are sold out to believe, God's got this. He's got it. You know what? He's got your mess when you think that you're there by yourself. He's got your home when you think, I need help. And you look around and you say, well, I kind of feel helpless. He's got that. He's got your grandchildren when they overcome you so much that you're trying to get stretched out and you go, I'm being stretched thin. And that wouldn't hurt me. But I mean, we're being stretched thin. And you go, know what? God's got that. God knows every prayer that Levine's ever prayed for her grandkids. And you know what? He's getting it in order. He's taking care. He's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. Because God's faithful. When is it going to be more than God's faithful? God's faithful. Calling those things that aren't as though they are. Looking at the mountains and saying like this. God, I thank you that I can step over that thing. And God, I thank you that I can put the sole of my feet on that thing. And God, I'm thankful that I can rub the dust off my feet. You know what? I've been thinking of testimonies. You know those things that in the Old Testament, they said they'd put a rock here, and then they put more rocks here, and then they put more rocks here. That's the testimony of what God had done in that area and time in their life. I didn't do it, but I started to, Rich. Because you'd have had to see their face. I go to the hospital. This is not for you to feel sorry. This is for your own knowledge. I go to the hospital within an hour of the wreck. They do all kinds of MRIs and all kinds of x-rays and stuff like that. And I'm not breathing too well. I'm in pretty much pain on my right side, two broken ribs, that would explain that. My hand doesn't feel too good, it's broke. Anyway. But what I want to tell you is this. The doctor, whom I'm pretty well happy with, I'm sitting there, in misery, but feeling okay. And she comes up. You ready? Says, Mr. Morgan. She just looked at x-rays and MRIs and stuff like that. I said, yes. And your sister's there, which I really love that. I said, yes. She said, don't know how to say it, but do you know, Rich, you'll love it, that you have kidney stone? Sure I know it. I've had it 8 to 10 years. And believe me, 8 to 10 years ago, I couldn't say this to you, talk like this. But I did bend my knee and thank the women for having our children. Because if men had to have their children, then we'd have one child. That's the truth. That's the truth. Anybody got more than one? Oh, man, you're something. Well, anyway, I said, yes, I know it. She said, well, no, but do you realize that you got one blocking, totally blocking, it's huge. Your right side of your urethra? Yeah. And I go, why? I didn't know where it was located. But here's what happens. Jim, you might like, I was cutting grass out here, and I started shaking. And I already knew I was full of stones. And I shook them so much, they started going down in my track. And I started bleeding for about 2 weeks. And when I started bleeding for 2 weeks, I got a lovely wife that says something like this: you need to quit cutting that grass. Because I got a lot of stone. It's more than one or two. You know, we got 30, 40, 50, I don't know, 100, whatever it is. But that's okay. God's a sovereign God. He's still doing a work that I can't do. And he's still working in me. I said all that to tell you this. My wife the other day went, I haven't got this wrote down either. Honey, I love you. She went the other day. She got x-rays of her back. They say the lady comes out with her arm around her. As soon as I seen her arm around her, I knew something was going to happen. You know, I get real particular when people put their arm around somebody that I love and they're crying. And she said, have you seen x-rays of your back? She said, I've been doing this almost 20 years. She said, you're a miracle to stand up. She said, I don't know how you walk. She said, your x-rays of your back are the worst I've ever seen since I've been doing this. I want to tell you something. We serve a miracle-working God. When everybody else says no, he says, whoa! Who said that? And when everybody says, you know, that's not holy, he said, I called it holy. You know what? He said, don't call that unholy, which I've called holy. I want to tell you something, not because she's mine, but my wife's a holy woman. That's how much I value her. She is that which elevates me above this earth. I'm looking out at you. Don't think that somebody don't elevate you. My goodness, I thank God for what he's laid on my heart to elevate you. The Apostle Paul said, you know, that he had prayed that when he would return, he would hear a good report from you. Well, I want to tell you something. Brother Roy Ralph's coming next week. I know because I heard it, seen it out on the sign, and I heard it up here. And I asked Oscar jokingly, who's preaching next week? Anyway, I get to do this. I get to read 1 Corinthians 2:16 to you. This is what it's about, people. In the Amplified, it says, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ. I wanted to stop there. Because Oscar always says, you know why we don't have this? Because we don't believe it. God's word's true whether you want to believe it or not. But the key to it is believing it. You want it to happen in you, you have to believe it. We have the mind of Christ. And it says, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes, thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Of his heart. I love that. Of his heart. This is not a test. Not for you, anyway. But last time I spoke to you, let's This might be the reason I haven't spoke to you in a while. Some of you will remember, the Lord told me to tell you to get your house in order. Nobody ever wants to hear that. You like having it your way. You like doing things your way, on your own timing. Especially when you start caring of things of this world, like your loved ones. I want to tell you something. Our son was carjacked, and my wife and me looked at each other at the same time going out on 71. And these are the words we spoke immediately to each other. God, whatever it takes. You know, your baby can only be your baby so long. But they quit being your baby and start being grown up when you give them to God. Yeah, I didn't think they'd get a lot of amens. But let me read this to you, because I've been reading this for over 2 months again. And when I read it, I put your face in front of God when I read it. Your face. Because this is what I've been praying for you and your family. And as I told you, different people spoke from here. I have to give Charles Stanley, Holy Spirit, credit for this, because this is what he wrote. I read it one other time. Some of you might have heard it. Some of them might not. But listen what it says. It's about putting on the armor of God. In order to get your house in order, I'm totally convinced that's what it takes. It starts out saying, good morning, Lord, the coffee. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for assuring me of victory today if I will but follow your battle plan. Anybody ever heard the battle is the Lord's? Your battle plan. So by faith, I claim victory over, and it's got a big thing here. Now, I can't speak to you, but I want to tell you something. This morning, as I was reading this at about a little after 5 o'clock, I said, victory over the things I see. Some of it would be the things that you hear. Some of the things would be the things that you think. Victory over that. So this morning, I'll tell you right now. I said, victory over the things I see. To prepare myself for battle ahead by faith, I put on the truth about you, the belt of truth. The truth about you, Lord, is that you are a sovereign God who knows everything about me, both my strengths and my weaknesses. Lord, you know my breaking point and have promised not to allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. The truth about me, Lord, is I'm a new creature in Christ and have been set free from the power of sin. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit who will guide me and warn me when danger is near. I am your child and nothing can separate me from your love. The truth is, and I love this because I believe this is the truth, is that you have a purpose for me this day. Wake up every morning knowing God has a purpose for your life. And it says, someone to encourage, someone to share with, someone to love. I think that's beautiful. That's God's purpose. Next, Lord, I want to, by faith, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Through this, I guard my heart and my emotions. This is where, as I was reading this, thinking, this is where most people have trouble or let down their guard. I will not allow my heart to attach anything to anything that is impure. I will not allow my emotions to rule in my decisions. I want to tell you something. I learned this. Tighten up your seatbelt. Sometimes you're going to do this. It's nice to be fastened in. You're going to ride the roller coaster. Tighten it up. It said, I will set them on what is right and good and just. I will live today by what is true, not but why what I feel. Now, let me say this a different way. I will live today by what is life, which is truth, and not what I feel, which is death. That's the truth. Lord, this morning I put on the sandals of the gospel of peace. I'm available to you. When you wake up, you get to be available to God. Lord, send me where you will. Guide me to those who need encouragement or physical help of some kind. You ever caught yourself around people that, you know, they need encouragement or they're sick? I got to stop right there real quick. I said it on Wednesday's program, or actually before the show started. You know when God said, these works shall you do in greater works? When his disciples went out and they were praying and laying hands on people, I read nowhere in the Bible that they got sick. I challenge you this morning. Pray for other people. Encourage them. Visit the sick. Pray for them. Expect God to move on them. And quit acting like, well, God didn't tell me that. When you do that, you're in the feeling area and you're in death. It's by faith. We move and exist by faith. Okay, it's a physical help of some kind. Use me to solve conflicts wherever they might arise. Anybody ever been in places where they arise? I've not only been in places where they arise, but I've been in places where people don't want them to die. Hello. Make me a calming presence in every circumstance in which you place me. I will not be hurried or rushed, for my schedule is in your hands. I will not leave a trail of tension and apprehension. I will leave tracks of peace and stability everywhere I go. I want to tell you something. The world's watching you. It's watching how you react to things. It's watching how you run. I teach the class all the time. Don't be quick to run into mischief. Just because the siren's going off, don't run toward it. If there's a police over there, don't go running toward it. If they tell you to get down, get down. Don't go getting down and crawling toward it. Stop right where you're at. I'm supposed to be teaching these kids about two lives, the natural and the spiritual. Well, I want to tell you something. I can't teach them anything in the spirit if they're not here in the natural. Anyway. I now take up the shield of faith, Lord. My faith is in you and you alone. Apart from you, I can do nothing. With you, I can do all things. No temptation that comes my way can penetrate your protecting hand. I love this. I will not be afraid, for you are going with me throughout this day. When I am tempted, I will claim my victory. This is really all I love. Out loud ahead of time. For you have promised victory to those who walk in obedience to your word. So by faith I claim victory even now, because I know there are fiery darts headed my way even as I pray. Lord, you already know what they are and have already provided a way of escape. Now, you should just stay how you're comfortable in misery and stay right there. But I want to tell you something. You choose to. God's word says you don't have to. So we get to do this. Lord, by faith, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. You know how Satan, this is the only time I use, Satan bombards my mind day and night with evil doubts, thoughts, doubt, and fear. I put on the helmet that will protect my mind. I love this. I may feel the impact of his attacks, but nothing can penetrate the helmet. Mm-mm-mm. I choose to stop every impure and negative thought at the door of my mind. And with the helmet of salvation, those thoughts will get no further. I elect to take every thought captive. I will dwell on nothing but what is good and right and pleasing to you. Remember in Corinthians where I read we have the mind of God? This is how we get it. This is how we get it. Last, I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Thank you for your precious gift of your word. It is strong and powerful and even to defeat the strongest of Satan's onslaughts. Your word says that I'm not under obligation to the flesh to obey its lust. Your word says that I'm free from the power of sin. Your word says that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
So by faith, I take up the strong and powerful sword of the Spirit. I want to tell you something. If you'll listen real close, you'll find out why you take that up, which is able to defend me in the time of attack. We're going to be attacked. Defend me in the time of attack. Comfort me in the time of sorrow. We're going to have sorrow, but we're going to have people to have sorrow. It said, teach me in the time of meditation and prevail against the power of the enemy on behalf of others. In my lifetime, a lot of times when things come and affect me or afflict me, I said, God, who out there in the body is hurting? And I don't consider myself. He deals and shows me other people. When Rich was having an attack, he didn't have to call me and tell me he was having an attack with his kidneys. God had already intervened. He had already showed me. I had already started praying for that. We need to be sensitive in the spirit. Come on, people. It's not all about us. It is about him. It says, on behalf of others who need the truth to set them free. I'm going to stop right there just for a second and say this to you. I've learned over the years that we can't make anybody do anything. And I've learned how good that is. Because I can make them a mess. I can make them not want Jesus. I was at work one day, and I had broken this guy in for the last 2 months, and he was out on his own. And he had messed up and didn't know how to ask how to fix it. So when you mess up and you don't know how to fix it, and I found this in church, elders, deacons, whatever, and I ain't talking about necessarily here, but and management, owners, whoever, the worst thing you could do is never be apologetic about something that happened. The worst thing you can do is act like that you're above making mistakes. The worst thing you can do is not seeking forgiveness. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get a person that's working for you, and you show them compassion, and you show them the truth of God, they'll work for you like they work for no other. They'll knock down that wall and then ask you how far you meant it to go. And they might have knocked the whole thing down. Because they really get excited about doing something for you. Finish the story about this guy. I break him in. And finally, he has a few choice words for me. I don't want to be another Clyde. I break down and start laughing. I said, well, that's good, because the world don't need another one. I guess I was so determined to make him better. You ready for this? This is funny. I wanted to make him like me. Now that's funny. Because that ain't better. That's not better. That's not better for you. That's not better for God. All that was better for me. You know, about your name and stuff like that. So I go, okay. So I shut up for 2 weeks. Yeah, I know that's hard to believe. I shut up for 2 weeks. Finally, the guy comes up to me. Says, I need to apologize to you. I said, okay. And he tells me, and I start crying as he's apologizing to me. And as I start crying, he's apologizing to me. I said, oh, it's all forgiven. I said, don't worry about that. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Then he tells me he needs to find a church. And this is where the whole story is important. He needs to find a church for him and his family. I said, okay. And guess what? I never once ever considered telling him to come here. It's not about us, but it is about what God has already revealed to me about him. I said, well, let me tell you something. He said, yeah. I said, there's a church
It's called Full Gospel. It's out off of Union Cemetery. He goes, yeah. I said, Jim Pruitt's the pastor out there. And if you got any talent at all, which he did, playing guitar and stuff like that and singing, I said, you're going to fit in that church like a glove. You're going to fit into it. So I don't say nothing else to him. 2 weeks later, he comes up to me, smiling on his face. Clyde. I go, yeah. This is how important it is to keep your mouth shut. He said, I found a church. I said, really? He goes, yeah. It's called Full Gospel. It's out off of Union Cemetery. You know, we're not about taking credit that we told him to do that. That's not what God would have. The only thing I asked him is, how's Brother Pruitt doing? His mouth almost dropped and hit the floor. He had completely forgotten. But I want to tell you something. All we are is seed planters. Plant the seed. God to give the increase. Plant the seed. You don't have to see the seed. If God allows you to, praise God. But if he doesn't, praise God anyway. He doesn't return. His word don't return void. Well, anyway, let me stop on this. This is Brother Stanley saying this. But I believe everyone in here could say this. So, Lord, I go now rejoicing that you have chosen me to represent you to this lost and dying world. May others see Jesus in me, and may Satan and his host shudder as your power is made manifested in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your house in order. Put this armor on. It'll give you strength every day. I remember years ago when I started reading this, and he asked you to promise. See, I believe, I hope this isn't throwing off on him, but I believe Charles Stanley and me have a lot of the same spirit. He's encouraged me. His spirit has encouraged me. And so in the book, if you ever got the book, in the book, it asked you 2 chapters ahead of what I just read to you, if you will promise to do something for 7 days. I don't know this man. I don't need to. I know Jesus. And Jesus knows this man. And he showed me that we had the same spirit. He said, promise me before you get to this, and he doesn't tell you what you're going to do. So you're stepping out in faith. Anybody ever promised something and held back or actually did it? You promised something. I said, okay, yes, Lord, I will do whatever he asks. Well, as I get down a couple more chapters, he asked you to do what I just read. And he asked you to do it for 7 days in a row. Read it, 7 days in a row. That's a long time, huh? Before I realized that I had done it for 6 months. And guess what took part of my life? This here became part of my life. What I'm telling you this morning, if you love the Lord, love his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I want to tell you something. If I don't sin against God, I don't sin against any of you guys. When I look at you and have your face come up to me, I say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for exactly what you're doing. People years ago used to come up. Anyone used to come up and say, will you pray for my children? I said, really? You want me to pray for your kids? They go, yeah. I said, well, I'm not going to pray for your kids any different than I do my own. Sometimes I tell the Holy Ghost to sick them. Sometimes I tell God, whatever your will is, doesn't matter, whatever it takes. But most of the time, that does not mean removing them from the harm that we, in the natural, think they're in. One time I had one of my children, I'll tell you, one time I had Josh get ready. He was going before a judge. And before we went in to see the judge, I told him, I said, you're my only son. I said, but what we've done, what you've done, what I've done, whatever the judge gives you, I will not bail you out of whatever his sentence is. I'll be the dad that visits you in prison. I love you that much. Well, am I glad his mother wasn't standing next to me when I said that. We got to love each other enough to let go. And then when we let go, we got to realize we've let go, but God's still holding on. When we drop something, we know God's still got them in the palm of their hand, of his hand. When we know that we can't do nothing, we're coming to the end of ourselves, and I just don't know the situation. My body's breaking down. My head's breaking down. My faith, it's causing it, you know, to shake a little. I got news for you. Let God's word be true, all men be a liar. God is faithful. He's faithful beyond measure. We don't get out a measuring stick and say, well, what have you done? What I would encourage you to do is they did in the Old Testament, because I thought this was good. Rich almost brought kidney stones here today to shake them. I had one, about that big. First one to come out of me. But I want to tell you something. As soon as it came out of me, relief immediately. Didn't hurt coming out. How's that? Didn't hurt. But you know what? God said, save that. He said, save that next one. What he wants us to do, he wants us to point to a place where we've had victory in Jesus Christ and say, right there, he did that for me. Right there, he did that for me. And you know what? When we start doing that, we'll quit looking at the things that we act like are mountains in our life, and he'll go like, oh, that's no mountain. In Psalm, the 19th chapter, the very first verse. The heavens declare his glory. I look at you, and I see heaven. I look at you, and I see you declaring his glory. It's all about how we see things and whose eyes we see through. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Let's believe it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your strength that goes beyond measure. We thank you for our weaknesses. We thank you, Lord, for the things that we can't complete. But Father, we thank you that you're faithful. And you're completing us. And in our weakness, you're making us strong. So be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. And they all said, amen. If you want prayer, come forward. If not, have a great day.